Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet with the Mishnah. Just to go through the flow of the Mishnayot, okay, because this is important, especially for the Gemara we're going to start today. We had a whole bunch of Mishnayot that talked about HaPesha Asar Hu HaPesha Hitir. Okay, right, when you basically incriminate yourself, but then say, I'm not incriminated, right, I was Ish Ad Ish, but I'm now divorced, or whatever it may be. We had all those cases, and it led us to the Shvuya case. Where if a woman says, I was taken captive, but I was freed, so it's okay. But then we believe her. From that captive case, it went to the case of the two shvuyot that we saw yesterday, the two captured women, and each testify for the other, and we say that's okay, because all you need is eira echad in a shvuyah case, because we're mekel and shvuyah. Now today, we didn't learn enough about it when we were actually at that mishnah, but now we're going to learn more about it. What exactly is the issue going on there? And we'll talk about that in a minute. And that leads us to our Mishnah, which is the same type of a case of two people, each testifying about each other, about the same matter. Okay, and then we're going to talk about, there's going to be a concept that comes up called gomlim. Okay, if you're familiar with the word, like gomel chesed, or gomlim is when you, there's a concern that they're each doing it as a favor for the other. You say about me, and I'll say about you, and we'll each be able to prove innocence. And the other issue going on here is Eid Echad. For what issues do we accept one witness, and for what issues do we need more than one witness? V'chein shnei anashim, ze omer kohen ani, v'ze omer kohen ani. Okay, they both testify about themselves. They're a kohen, enan ne'emanim, right? There's obviously no pesha asar here. This is just lead into the next case that we're going to say. U'bizman she, right? So you can't come and say, I'm a kohen, and we believe you. U'bizman shehem mi'idin zeh zeh, hare elu ne'emanim. But if each says about the other, he's a kohen, then they're believed. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ein ma'alin l'kuhuna al pi eid achad. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he disagrees. He says, you can't prove that someone's a kohen by using one witness. Amar Rabbi Elazar, in what case, now here's going to, okay, so there's a machloket Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda. Do we accept eid achad for kuhuna, or do we not?
Didn't we already have something where they were talking about kohenim and they said, well, that's not really a problem because that's just a fact and it can always be checked?
We talked about yichus. We did. We talked about yichus. I don't think it was necessarily kahuna, though.
No, it was something.
It was about whether they came from a family of avadim. That's what it was. It was your orde mishpacha. There's an assumption that we know if people came from a family of avdut. So what you're saying is, if we know people come from a family of avdut, why can't we check into it and say that someone came from a family of kahuna? It's a good question. Yeah. So first of all, with kahuna, it could be along the way the kahuna got messed up and there was a halal. And then that would be passed down, and maybe that wouldn't be tracked as well, possibly. Also, to say someone's an Eved is easier to say than to say someone's a Kohen, because we can always apostle someone more easily, right, than turning someone into a Kohen, in which case there's all sorts of ramifications if we turn them into a Kohen. So we'll discuss also, we're going to get into a little bit about what issues of Kohuna we're talking about here. Okay, so now we're going to have Rabbi Elazar comes and is going to say, the Rabbi Yehuda's statement of Ein Malin Al Pi Eid Echad, Ein Matai, Bimkom Sheyesh Orerin. Only if somebody says, we don't trust, you know, we don't think he's a Kohen, and this guy comes to say, no, he is. Okay? But, Aval Bimkom Sheyein Orerin Malin L'Kuhun Al Pi Eid Echad. Okay? No one's arguing that Eid Echad is certainly sufficient. Rashbag Omer Rishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Haskan, Ma'alim l'kuhuna al pi eid echad. Okay, he also says that you're ma'alim l'kuhuna al pi eid echad. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question on the whole perek of Mishnayot. Okay, now we're going back to HaPesh Asar. This really belongs on the previous Mishnah. Not clear why it's here. Kol hane lamali. Why do we need all the cases of HaPesh Asar hu HaPesh Yitir? Okay, so now they're going to say, they're going to do a tzrichei. We need them. Because each one is unique and we wouldn't have been able to learn one from the other. Okay, what was our first case? Do you remember in the beginning of the parak, we had the case of the Sadeh? He says, I admit that it was your father's, but I bought it from him. Now, in that case, there's a financial loss for the guy, right? If he says it was your father's, right, then he loses out on the money. Aval edim, delay kadrara de mamona, but when the edim comes to be Mekayim the Shtar, well, there's no financial loss for them. So, emalo, you might say, this isn't going to, right, we won't accept hapesha asar hapesha tir. The whole issue here is, do we think that, one second, if it's dror de mamona, right? Right. The point is, if he says, the whole idea is that he's believed because first he's osir and then he's matir, right? So in the case where he says, I bought it from your father, right? The assumption is he must be telling the truth the whole way, because otherwise he wouldn't have brought up, I bought it from your father, if he knew that would get him into trouble. Right. And therefore we believe him, whereas there is no such thing when it comes to the Edim case. The Itana Edim, so let's say we just gave the Edim case, and then you'd be able to learn, well, if it works for the Edim, it's obviously going to work here. Mishum de la alma, aval iu de lenafshe emalo. What's the issue with the shtar, the Edim of the shtar, who are verifying the shtar? It has nothing to do with them, right? They're just saying my signature is valid, right? What does he say? You remember the case? My signature, that is my signature, but I was forced to do it. So now, he doesn't really care if he says, and as he might have said, yeah, that's my signature, and then later realized, oh, wait, but I don't really want to, you know, let me change my mind. And since there's no, it doesn't have to do with him, like, we're not so concerned that he'd be lying, and therefore, in that kind of case, you might say, oh, Pesha Sara Pesha Tir, but if it was about his, something that really directly impacted him, there might be more likely that he would lie. So therefore, and what's that case? That's the Sadeh Me'avicha, right? Then you would say, oh, well, he said about himself, but then he realized, oh, wait, this is going to hurt me, so let me change my mind. V'iyash v'inan ha'nitarte mishum de'mamona. Aval eshet ishti isura emalo. Right now, so jump from those two cases. Both those are financial issues. Now, you might say, eshet ish, oh, eshet ish is much more severe. That's isser. That's the department of isser v'heter, not, you know, do you owe money to somebody? So in that case, what are we going to say? Maybe we won't accept it in an Eshadish case. So therefore, the woman who says, I'm an Eshadish, but I got divorced, we're not going to accept that. So now, okay, that explains all three. Very clear. But now which case are we stuck with? Nishbetu Torah Nilamali. So now we have, wait, but if I was taken captive, but I'm Tehora, so what do we need that case for, right? That's an Isura case. So why would you need... Why wouldn't you believe them? Why would you need to add that case if we already had the Eshadish case? So what do they say? Mishum de kabaya lemine ve'imish nisei ba'o edim harezo lo tetze. Okay? What did we want to say? That case has a unique halacha about it, and that's why we brought it. What's the unique halacha? You remember this line? If she already got married and then the edim come, then in that case we're going to say lo tetze. Okay, but I don't know if you remember all the way. There was a home machloket. Does this apply to the Shvuya case? Or does it apply also to the Eshadish case? So, Hanicha, this works very well. Leman dematne la seifa. The one who said that this line... Okay, so let's just chart this out for a second. Okay, I have to bring the eraser. Okay. We have the first case is a drora de mamona case, right? It's a financial loss for the guy. Okay, so that's why we have that case. So that's the case of the Sadeh, right? Let's actually look at that chart. We have the Sadeh, is Drora de Mamona. We have the next case is the Shtar. And then we say it's because it's La Alma, it's for people in general and not for them specifically. So there's a new Chiddush about, oh no, the, sorry. Yeah. Right. It's more, right. Okay, that's why, right, because it's just for them. It's for other people. Then we'd say the Eshadish case, and then we say there it's Isura, and then we have the Shvuya case. So the Shvuya is going to create complications, because it really is also Isura. So why is it a Chiddush? So one they say is because they wanted to teach us this line, Imi Shenisait, if she already got married and then Bao Edim, she doesn't have to get divorced. So that only works if this line only applies to Shvuya, but if that line already applied to the Eshadish case, according to the other guy, well then, you certainly don't need to add Shvuya for that line, because it was already true for the first case. So, that's what we said. Hani chalaman demani la seifa. Those who learn that it would apply to the seifa, it would work. El laman demani la resha ma'i kalamemar. So now, and this would explain why this Mishnah comes up, why this Gemara comes up on our Mishnah. What are they going to say? Though it still could have come in the earlier Mishnah. Mishum de kabai lemitne shtei nashim shenishbu. And they wanted the Shvuya case as a lead-in. Okay, so here's the first option, here's the second. As a lead-in to the two captives. Okay? To the two captives case. It's basically a lead-in to that, and that's why it's here. And there's really, for the Pesh HaSar or Pesh Yitir, we didn't need to bring that case. But it's a transition, right? You always learn in English class, you have to make a nice transition to... So, we went from Esh Adish to Shvuya, now we got to the Shtei Nashim Shenishbu, right? This is all to get to the Shtei Nashim, and then the Shtei Kohanim. Okay? And that's the that explains kind of the structure of all the Mishnayot. Okay, so now they're going to say, V'shtei Nashim Shenishbu Lamali, and that's, why do we need this case? Why is it such a chiddush? If Eid Echad is Ne'eman B'Shvuya... So why would we even think that there was any issue here? Why wouldn't it just be obvious that we're going to accept their testimony? Mau detema, you might have thought, nichush legomlim, like I said in the beginning of class, that maybe we're worried that each of these women said, okay, listen, you lie for me and I'll lie for you. And therefore, right, there's always questions, why would Adim be suspect that they're lying falsely? Usually it's money. Here, it's a favor. I'll do for you, you do for me, and then, right, you can imagine these two women taken captive together. They can make a plan, right? They say, okay, let's do this. So you might have thought, Nichush Legomlim, Kamash Malani, you don't have to worry about it. V'chein Shnei Anashim Lamali, so now why do you have to bring up the Kohanim case if you had the Shvuya case? Mishum de Kabay Lemin, Eplutera de Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabbanan. Okay, because they wanted to show us, right, with the Shvuya case, because of Shvuya Hikilu, so everybody agrees that we're going to allow those two women and we're not going to worry about Gomlim. But when it comes to the Kohanim, what do we see? There's a machloket. Are you ma'alel p'yed echad or are you not ma'alel p'yed echad? Okay, and therefore, are these guys trustworthy to say about the other? You're a Kohen, and fine? Or do we need an extra aid? And that's why, okay, so the Shvuya case, the two nashim, is to teach you lo choshashim legomlim. Right? We're not worried about that. And the Kohanim case is to teach you that there's a machloket, okay? That not everybody agrees that one is enough in that case. Now we're going to get into this Kohen case more. Tana Rabbanan. Ani Kohen, here we're going to see another braita about this. Ani Kohen b'chaviri Kohen, ne'eman la'achilo b'truma, ve'eno ne'eman la'hasiyo isha, ad yihu shlosha, shnayim midim al zeh, v'shnayim midim al zeh. Okay, so Tana Kama says, if you want to allow this guy to eat truma, one eid is enough. But if you want to allow him to marry a woman, now this is the thing, what exactly are we talking about, a woman? So apparently, right, Rashi says, miyucheset, ma'alahi biyuchsin. If you were a Kohen, you had to marry a woman who had good lineage. So if you want to, the question is, I couldn't figure out exactly, it was the reverse. In other words, what if he's it's a little tricky to explain what this is. Just one second. Right. The point is you can't, knowing if you have, it seems to imply that unless you have two aging that can say, they say it would also be, it's a little tricky what exactly this means. There's some machlokot about it. Because what does it mean? Usually it's to marry someone to a Kohen, they have to be proven that they're miyuchas. Mm-hmm. Here they're saying, if you can't prove that you're a Kohen, then we can't necessarily marry you to a regular woman because maybe you're a mamzer, maybe you're something else. And they say the same will be true for Yisrael also. But some people say, wait, that's also difficult because a woman's allowed to marry a man without checking. Is he a mamzer? Right? Do you have to check that someone's a mamzer? No, only if you know they're a mamzer is it a problem. But you don't have to go searching and researching. It's a little bit tricky what exactly they're talking about here. The Mefarshim, some people say, there's a whole diyun about this. I didn't have a chance to look at the whole thing, but there's a whole big question about what exactly this even means, lahasiyo isha. Okay, do you have to check into when you go to get married, right? This is interesting. This is what goes on in the Rabbanut, right? Nowadays, they're very, very careful to check everything. But it's not clear that lahalacha, you have to start opening up every, you know, if somebody comes, his name is Cohen, and he wants to marry a divorcee, so obviously, you know, and if you know a family is mamzerim, so obviously you have to look into it. But the question is, how much of a background check are you supposed to do in a person? And that there's a bit of a machloket about, and that affects how they understand exactly what this question is, okay? So, so now we're going to have a distinction between truma and getting married. So now what is the shlosha? So shnayim midim hazeh or shnayim midim hazeh. So there have to be two kohanim and one third guy who knows both of them. So then, or it doesn't, it could be four people, but they're saying minimum of three, right, who know what's going on. So two of them testify about the third, and then the other two testify about the other guy. You follow? Okay, so as long as, what the point is that this opinion, right, this matches Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, this opinion is saying, okay, sorry, this opinion is Tanakama, and it's saying that while it comes to Truma, one is enough. But I agree with Rabbi Yehuda that when it comes to Lahasiyo Isha, we're going to need two witnesses. So you're going to need a third guy here who knows both of them, and he'll be able to testify about each, and then it works. Then each can testify about each other. Again, we're not worried about Gomlin as long as he comes with somebody else. Okay, that already will take it out of that issue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af eino ne'eman lachilo b'truma ad shiyu shlosha. Okay, he thinks, right, shnayim midim azeh v'shnayim midim azeh. He says, even for eating truma, okay, right, you have to have good testimony, two witnesses.
It sort of makes sense because they've already held truma to very high standards.
I know, it does make a lot of sense. I was thinking about that because truma, we know that a zar can't eat truma, you get mita bidei shamayim,
well,
it's pretty severe.
A woman who's lived in her father's house or she's in an in-between status and she's living there, but she can, like,
right.
Really,
we're pretty machmir when it comes to truma, it's true. So it seems interesting here that they, the opinion that says one aid is enough, but again, one aid, we've learned in many cases, okay, we're going to see this a lot again, aid acha ne'eman bi'isurin. Like when it comes to things like kashrut and things like that, we believe, right? If someone says, I'm kosher, if they're shomrei halacha, you can trust them. You don't have to start checking their house. Do they do this? Do they do that? Right. This chazkan ne'emanut. So that comes from this eid acha ne'eman bi'isurin. So here also, that's what we have. In other words, it's an isur, okay, to eat truma, and eid acha would be ne'eman.
It's also you can stop eating truma if it turns out you're not a kohen, you just stop. But if you already messed up a woman, if you married a woman,
if you married the wrong woman, right, it'd be a problem. Right, it's true. That would be more complicated to fix. Okay, so now they say lememra. So now, why does Rabbi Yehuda not accept one witness? Lememra to Rabbi Yehuda chayish legomlim. Is that his concern that he's worried these kohenim are lying to each other? You know, they're playing a game with each other so that they can each get the other one. Now, if that's the case, we have a problem. Okay, and you follow? The assumption is, okay, let me erase now. Use the board. Okay, we have Rabbi Yehuda who says you need two witnesses, and you have Tanakama who says one. So now, one, if Rabbi Yehuda says one isn't enough, is it because he's worried about Gomlim? Okay, in which case, right, he's Choshesh Legomlim, and Tanakama is Lo Choshesh Legomlim. But now, if we say that that's the case, we're going to have a problem. Why are we going to have a problem? Because there's another machloket about them, that they have, in some other issue, where Tanakama is definitely going to be the one who's choshesh legomlim, and Rabbi Yehuda is not. Okay, what's that case? V'ha'ibcha shamina, we've learned, shamina lehu, we've learned the opposite about them. Ditna. Ha'chamarim shenichnesu la'ir. Okay, guys are coming, carrying their wares on their donkeys. But Amar Achav Mehem, Sheli Chadash, V'Shel Chaviri Yashan. My produce is new, and my friend's is old. Sheli Eino Metukan, V'Shel Chaviri Metukan. But mine isn't my sered, and his is. Okay, now he's in Ama Aretz. Okay, Ama Aretz, we've learned this before, that Ama Aretzim, okay, were Choshesh, that they don't do Truman and Masrud. It was one of the things people who we call Ama Aretz, whatever that means exactly, right? There's a Chaver and there's an Ama Aretz, okay? The Chaver is the one who we know is Makpid, and the Ama Aretz is not. One of the things that Ama Aretz are known to be less Makpid on or that we're concerned about is Truman and Masrud. So if he's saying information about his friend, that his friend took Truman and Masrud, we don't believe him. Rabbi Yehuda, why don't we believe him? Because an Ama Aretz. An Ama Aretz can't testify about Truman and Masrud because he's not believed. Because what's he basically saying? He's saying, my friend's stuff is my share. So if you buy the friend's stuff, you have to take Truman and Masrud. You have to assume there's no Truman and Masrud taken. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ne'eman, he's believed. Okay? Now, he is believed about his friend. Okay? So now what's the issue here? What would you think? Why is Tana Kama say we're choshe? Why does he say we don't believe him? Not just because Naam Haaretz is choshesh, you know, is not trustworthy, because he's saying my friend took. So what's the issue? We're choshesh legomlin. What did he do here? He's a little bit playing a game. He says my stuff is better about in one aspect, but my friend's stuff is better in another aspect. And maybe he's trying. They're each trying to kind of play a game with each other so that people will, they'll get people to come buy their produce. It's like a marketing tactic.
Sounds more like competition than friends.
So they understand it a little bit that they're working together to, I think so.
Yeah,
right. Rashi says, Elamam Yirim Emora Takam Va'ani B'Makom Acher. In other words, I'll praise your stuff about one aspect and you praise me about a different aspect. And then
in the next town they switch.
You can imagine it's like a marketing tool because what are they doing? They're just drawing attention, right? It's like any news is good, any press is good press. Mm-hmm. That's really what they're saying, right? They're just raising awareness about it. So now what do they say? So now we have a problem because he's choshesh legomlin. Rabbi Yehuda says no problem. We believe him. He's not choshesh legomlin. Okay. So now, first opinion is to say muchlefet hashita. Okay. Amarav adbar ava. Amarav. We've seen this before. Muchlefet hashita. Ah, in our mishnah, the shitot are flipped. Really, it's like the mishnah in I don't know where this is in. Gimel in Demai. Really, it's like the Mishnah in Demai that Tana Kama is choshesh legomlin. In our case, Tana Kama really says two, and Rabbi Yehuda says one. Okay, switch the shita. Abaye Omer la'olam lo tipuch. No, that's not a good solution. We have this mesoret about him, right? It's interesting. Not only was it in our Mishnah, it was also in the Braita. So you know, really, those are the shitot. But what's the issue? B'demai hikilu. Okay, Rov Amei Haaretz Masrim Hein. Even though, what is Demai? Demai, we've learned this, Da'mai. It's produce that we don't know its status. Usually we say if it's from an Amei Haaretz, you don't know its status, so you have to be Machmir. But that's just a Chumrah. Really, Amei Haaretz are Mas. Do take Mas here. And therefore, we just don't have to worry. This doesn't really have to do with Gomlin, right? It's just an issue. If you go by this, right? So one opinion is going to say, you know, Rabbi Yehuda, who we said isn't choshesh legomlin, really, okay, I have to actually stress what's going on here. Right now, they're just dealing with the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda, okay? Ignoring Rabbanan for right now. If we take just Rabbi Yehuda, here is choshesh legomlin, here is not choshesh legomlin, why is not choshesh legomlin in Demai? Ah, because it's Demai. And Demai, what's the issue? You bought this produce, can you assume that the guy's telling the truth, that really the guy took Truman Amas when he said about his friend? Even if, let's say they were lying, still we have a sense, in general, Demai is just a chumrah, and really most of my arets take masro. That was Rabbi Yehuda's attitude. So therefore, we can be makel here and allow it.
Isn't it something also that you can fix? Meaning you can take
it's,
off?
Yeah, but we don't say that here, right? It's like a devar sheyesh lo matirin. We really say that about tevel, not when it's Demai and you don't even know if it's. It's a suffix, whether it's even a problem or not. That's when you know something's a problem, then we call it a devar sheyesh lo matirin. And is it batel and things like that. But here it's a question whether it's even a problem, whether you even need to. So now they say, okay, well, Amarava, very nice, Rabbi Yehuda, kasha, Drabana, lo kasha, but you asked about Rabbi Yehuda, but what about Tana Kama and Tana Kama? Tana Kama isn't choshesh in this case, it is choshesh in Demai, so... You, what, they're more choshesh in Demai now? Your answer won't hold for explaining Tana Kama. So, what do they say? Ela Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, kedishanina. Okay, we can resolve Rabbi Yehuda the way we answer. The Demai, they're more makeup. Jerabbanan lo kasha, why? Kedama Rabbi Chama ba'ukva b'shekle omanuto b'yado. Hachanami b'shekle omanuto b'yado. Okay, what does that mean? If he's bringing his clay omanuto, okay, if they're in his hands, then it's clear that he wants to sell this produce. And it wasn't just randomly, like two of us were standing on the street and I say something about yours and you say something about mine. But here, it's obvious that he wants to sell his stuff, okay? And if he's planning to sell his... So first of all, what they're saying, I want to get the words clear. They say, Rabbi Chami Bar Ukva explained some other case, which we're going to get to in a minute, and he said it must be Shekleo Manuto Biado. So now the Gemara says, Hachanami, also here in our Mishnah, we're going to say it's B'Shekleo Manuto Biado, in which case, meaning he has like his measuring thing and you know whatever he uses to sell his stuff to like, you know exactly what the price is going to be about everything. So if those are in his hands, then we're going to say, one second, that... right, this would dafka be, wait, I lost something. Chamar mibi tfu'al in korea no sebi ado I'm just looking at Rashi. All right, he's clearly going to sell. So they must be clearly... Ah, right. I'm sorry. This is where I got confused. He's talking about when it comes to the... Right, when it comes to the Demai, where he's choshesh legomlim, the Demai case is a case where he had his clay on a Tobi Ado. They're about to sell. It's clear they're going to sell, and therefore he's choshesh legomlim. When it comes to the Kohen, there's less of a concern there. They're not trying to sell something. It's not a marketing tactic, right? It's almost like the whole problem here, like I said, is a marketing ploy, right? It's all marketing. And there's no issue with marketing when it comes to the Kohen case. So therefore, when it comes to the Demai case, we're going to be machmir, okay? We're going to be choshesh legomlim. So now they want to know. So what did we do? We basically, Rava took an answer that Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva brought in some other place, and he said, we're going to apply that answer here, and that's going to explain. Okay? So now, Hecha Itmar de Rabbi Chama Bar Ukva. So where did he say this thing? So now we're going to learn a whole other thing in Taharot. Ahaditan is a mission in Taharot. Hakadar Shehineach Kederota V'yarad Lishtot. Okay, whether it's Mayim Minayor or not. In our mission, it doesn't say Mayim Minayor. Okay, so the Kadar, he's selling his Kderot. Okay, he sells pots. He leaves his pots for a minute, and he goes to the water, or, you know, he goes to drink some water. So now, what does he have? He has outer ones and inner ones, okay? He's got, like, a whole display. So the ones that are on the outer edge, we're going to make a distinction between those and the inner ones, or maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll see. Okay, so imagine... Right, like pots, right, all over pots. So the ones on the outer edge that he left are going to be, okay, according to the Mishnah, tehorot, hapnimiyot, tehorot, hachitzoniyot, tmeot. The outer ones are going to be tameh, the inner ones are going to be tahor. So now they're going to, so first they're dealing with a problem here. Vahatanya, doesn't it say in a brayta, elu ve'elu tmeot, they're all tmeot? What's the issue? He leaves his pots and now we have no idea. Did someone touch them? Someone metame them? Amra bichamra ba'ukva, b'shekle umanuto b'yado, mipnei sheyad hakol mishameshet bahem. When it says elu ve'elu tmeot, that's when he's planning to sell them. So he is selling his stuff and he leaves it. And he goes to get a drink of water, and he comes back. Now, what happens in a store, right? Any store owner knows this very well. Everybody touches everything, right? You know, people, sometimes you look at store owners, they're like, stop touching everything, right? That's what people do. When you want to go buy it, you touch it. So if people are touching it, it's going to be metame. Now, you have to, this just to point one minor thing, just to review something we learned in the past. If you remember, kli cheres is not metame from touching from the outside. It's only if you put your hand in the inside of the kli. It has to get into the avir of the kli, okay? So imagine you have a kli. If it gets into the airspace of the kli, then it's metame. So you have to assume that people are putting their hands in, okay? Well, we'll see in a minute what else we're maybe concerned about. So now, so he says, the one that says elu ve'elu tmeot is when he's selling them. The one that says that only the outer ones are tame is if he's not selling them, he just happens to have pots with him. I don't know why they call him a kedar. You know, maybe he made them, but he made them for his family. I don't know. He's not or at least maybe they're not yet for sale. Maybe he's in the middle of making them, and that's why. So then they say, wait a minute, v'hatanya elu ve'elu tehorot. But wait a minute, isn't there another brayta that says they're all tehorot? So Amar Bichamar Baruchba B'she'en Klei Umanu Tobi Ado, when they're Tehorot, when he's not planning to sell them at all. So the boy said, wait a minute. The Elahaditana Pimiota Rabachitzoniot Meor Hechim Mishkachala. So we have now three cases, right? We have one case where nothing's Tame because he's not planning to sell them. We have another case where everything's Tame, and there's nothing's Tame because we assume no one's touching them. Everything's Tame because he's selling them. But now what's this in between? That was our Mishnah, which is the outer ones are Tame and the inner ones are Tahor. So now they say, what's that case? Dismicha l'reshut harabim, umishum chipufe reshut harabim. Okay, one answer is to say, it's right next to the reshut harabim. And they used to have these, they would put these avanim or things on the side in order to prevent the, according to Rashi, in order to prevent the agalot, people would bring their wares through, right? And from it scratching the walls, so they would put these avanim up, okay, next to the thing. So now what happens? They narrow the Rishon HaRabim, right? You can imagine like the Arab shuk, right? Think about the shuk in the old city, how narrow it is. And imagine people put these rocks on the side. It was even more narrow. And then he puts his stuff on the side there. So his stuff is on the side of the road, but it's so narrow that people are touching his stuff on the way. Now, again, you have to assume they're not touching, right? Maybe their clothes are falling into the airspace of the kli, then their clothes are tameh, or their hands are getting into the airspace. So whatever it is, it's a squishy area, and because of that, the outer ones are, but the inner ones are obviously not going to be touched. Okay, and that's how they explain that. Okay, so that's how we explain this whole thing. Okay, so now, let's just go back for 1 minute. How did we start? We said, let's assume that this whole thing has to do with gomlim, right? That's what their machloket's about. So now they're going to say, right, that was lo choshesh l'gomlim, and Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh l'gomlim, and then we brought a question on. We answered up the question. Either we switch the shitot, or we say there's a difference between the Demai case and the Kahuna case. And this case was specifically, right, either we're make of a Demai when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, or Chachamim or more machmir with the Demai case because the guy is selling his stuff. And therefore, we're assuming it's a marketing ploy, and therefore we don't trust him. V'ibayit Ema, why don't we say something else? Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan b'mali mitshuma liyuchsin kamiflege. This is a great issue. What does that mean? If you have a guy who eats truma, right? Let's say you have different criteria for truma and yuchsin. Well, that's going to create problems. Why? Because then you're going to have this guy who's eating truma. Now, once he eats truma, everyone assumes he's a kohen. Right? So then people are going to marry him based on assuming he's a Kohen. So now they're going to say, maybe that's the machloket. Are you ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin or not? Do we say just because someone eats truma, that doesn't allow you to assume that they're a Kohen? Okay? Or a Kohen good enough for yuchsin. Ibayilu. So now they ask a question. So now they're saying that's what their machloket is about. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say we need to because... Right? Just recall, in the Braita said only for Truma, but for marriage, no. So everybody agrees when it comes to marriage. They're only disagreeing about Truma. So the whole question is, everyone agrees that Mi'ikaridin, and you really can't eat Truma. However, because people are going to say, well, if he eats Truma, we're going to marry him, because we allow that, therefore we don't allow him to eat Truma, because then people will think he's Miyuchas. So now they're going to say, "Ibay lehu ma'ula alok mishtarat liyuchsin." Okay, can you allow someone if he signed on a? Okay, so now we're going to see exactly. I don't even want to define it yet because Gemara is going to say, "What are we talking about?" But if there's somehow a shtar that says he's a kohen, do we allow him to marry? Okay, we already said maybe the machloket about ma'alim mitshum liyuchsin. What about mishtarat liyuchsin? So hechidami. Right, if you sign your documents as a Kohen, well, obviously that's not going to fly, right? Who's testifying about him? It's just him himself, right? If I sign, every time I sign a document, I'm a Kohen, well, that doesn't prove anything. Right, this is a good question. You write, I'm a Kohen, and I borrowed money from so-and-so, and signed at the bottom are two edim. Now, what are they signing on? Are they signing on the fact that you borrowed money, or are they also signing on the fact that you wrote that you're a Kohen? Man amana shebishtar kamasade, o dilma kulamelta kamasade, right? Is he testifying about, by the way, amana, aleph before a noun is al, okay? Al with an ayin. Okay, so al manish b'shtar kamasade odilma akula on the whole thing. Okay, that's the aleph. So by the way, aleph before a verb is like a hey of hifil. Okay, so which makes it causative. So if you see an aleph like itpael is the form hitpael. Okay, it avda maaseh, a maaseh was done. Okay, so when you see an aleph before a paul, it's a verb. It's a hey, like hefil, and if you see it before a noun, it's al, on. So, is he testifying about the manash b'shar, or is he testifying about the whole thing? Rapuna Barab Chista, Chanamar Ma'alim, Bechanamar E Ma'alim. Okay, so now this is the machloka between Rapuna and Rab Chista. One says if this guy signs, Ani Ploni, borrow, you know, Kohen, borrow money, two Edom are signed. One says it's okay, you can assume he's a Kohen, and the other says no, it's not okay. Ibai Lehu, here's another good question. Ma'ula lo minasiya kopayim liyuchsin. Okay, what if he duchins, right? He goes up to duchin, can you assume that he's a Kohen and you can marry him? Okay, it can be asked according to, right? They're saying, even if you say, you could still maybe ask a question about Nesiyu Kapayim. And even if you say, you still could ask a question about Nesiyu Kapayim. Okay, now they're going to explain why that would be. Because you might say, if you say, what would you say exactly what Ruth said? Truma de avomitahi. Truma so chamor. So obviously, truma, we're going to allow you to marry. Avon nesiyu kapayim de isur asehu. And there's no real isur about nesiyu kapayim. It just means, what does it say? In the Torah, it says, ko tivrachu up in Israel. What does that mean? Only you can bless. So if somebody else blesses the people, I'm sorry, ko tivrachu up in Israel. If somebody else does it, it's called an isur aseh. You've been over on an aseh, but it's not like eating truma, they call down the chal truma, and you get me to be de shamayim. Odilma loshna, right? So you're going to either say, but nesiyu kapayim is only nisra ase, no. Or maybe, no, it's the same, just like you're rounding the truma, right? So therefore it would be a question. So now they're going to say, also, it's going to be a question in the other direction. Tibai laman damar ein ma'alim. Okay, so if you say we don't allow from truma to yuchsin, maybe you would still think that it would be okay for nesiyu kapayim. Why? Hanimila truma dimit achla betzina. Aval nesiyu kapayim de beferhesya ilav koinhu kulehai lo machtsif inish nafshe. Odil malo. This goes back to everything we've been saying, all these halachic principles about what an adam would never be chatsuf enough to do, right? He wouldn't have the audacity to get up in public and bench the people, you know, jubar kakoanim if he wasn't a kohen. First of all, if he wasn't a kohen, probably at some point someone might know. So someone would say something. So that's probably also why he wouldn't have the nerve to do it, right? But something in the privacy of his own home, whether he'll eat truma or not, that's a separate thing, okay? So maybe, but nesiyu kapayim is a public thing, and therefore you might allow it. Or maybe not. So that's the whole question. Odil maloshna, maybe there's no difference. Rav Chista v'Rav Yavina, chadamar ma'alim, v'chadamar e ma'alim. So our first machloka was Rav Chista and Rav Huna. This time it's Rav Chista v'Rav Yavina. Okay, we don't know in either case who says what. So we don't know if Rav Chista, right, would agree, would say the same thing across the board, although it's probably logical that he would. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava. Ma'ula lot min nesiyu kapayim l'yuchsin. Okay, so Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asked Rava, Amalei, plugged into Rav Chista v'Rav Yavina. Right, he says it's a machloka. Great answer, right? You go to the rabbi, you ask a question, you say it's a machlokin. So he said. So now they say, Hilchat Hamai. So what is the halacha? Now, that's not a great answer. Amarlei, Ana Matnita Yadana. Ditanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gdola Chazaka, Shneamar, Mibne Koinim, Bene Chavia, Bene Akot, Bene Barzilai, Asher Lakach, Mibne Barzilai, Giladi Isha, Vikareel Shmam. Eile bikshuk tavam hamityachasim velo nimtzau. Okay, here's a case. Okay, this is a pasuk in Ezra. Okay, there was a whole thing about the yuchus in Ezra and stuff. So now, what happened? These bnei kohanim. Okay, he took a daughter from the bnei Barzilai Giladi, and the sons were called in his name, and they couldn't find their shtar yuchus. Okay, their documentation. V'igalu mina kiuna. Okay, in order to basically write v'igalu mina kiuna. They wanted to find him, they couldn't find him. Vayomer ha tirshata lahem. Okay, so now the tirshata, it's like the leader, okay, which they say is Nehemiah, said to them, Asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodeshim ad amod kohen l'urim v'tumim. He said you can't eat from the kodeshim. Okay, you can't eat the stuff in the Beit HaMikdash because there's a question mark on you because we don't have your proof. Amar lahem, Hareatem bechezkatchem. Okay, what did he say to them? You are allowed to stay bechezkatchem. What does that mean? Right, we've learned this before. You're chazaka. What were you before? You have to remember, these people came from Bavel. They're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Now, did they eat kodeshim in Bavel? No, there were no kosher in Bavel. Did they eat truma in Bavel? Yes, that's what they ate. They ate truma, right? So the question is, where were they getting truma from? It's a good question. But, right, it's a good question. I think the assumption is that they were eating truma. One second. Let me make sure that I'm explaining this right.
It says by rabbinic law, truma was required in Bavel as well.
What?
It says by rabbinic law, truma was required
right.
in Bavel.
Okay, so there you have it. So they were doing truma in Bavel, midrabanan. So therefore, he's saying, you're b'chetz chachem. What were you eating in the Gola, right? You were eating kodshei agvul, right? That's what the kodshei agvul is, the truma. You were eating truma. So afkan b'kodshei agvul. Here, you also get to eat the kodshei agvul, which means that you're kept in your chazaka. Okay, so now, what's Rabba's proof from here? V'isal kadatach shema'alim minasiyu kapayim liyochsin, hani kevan deparse yadayhu, ate le'asukinu. As he should have, these guys, what's the assumption? What were they doing in Bavel? They weren't just eating truma. What else were they doing? They were doing the siu kapayim, right? They were davening. So these guys, he should have allowed them, if we're ma'alim mitruma liyuchsin, minisiu kapayim liyuchsin, these guys should have been allowed to eat kochim. He should have kept them in their chazaka. If their chazaka is nisiu kapayim could be ma'ale le yuchsin, then it also should have worked, right, for the kodshim. Okay? I think there's an assumption here. I wonder if there's an assumption, in a second, that he was also talking about yuchsin here in this pasuk. But I don't know. Because it's like making a jump, because it's really about they're talking about the kodshim, and not necessarily about the other thing. See so much about it. Okay. So anyway, now the Gemara is going to say, no, shane hacha d'riach hezkayhu. As everybody knew that, one second. Right here, they were already distinguished from everybody else because what happened? They came from Eretz Yisrael. They came from Babel. The ones who were in Eretz Yisrael, who had the chezka kahuna in Eretz Yisrael, well, they were eating kodshim. And these guys weren't eating kodshim. So already, what was the thing? He said you can't eat kodshim, right? The assumption was once they can't eat kodshim, then no one's going to marry them, right? So now, I'm sorry. Okay, this is what I missed. I missed this one minor point. The whole proof of Rava works like this. If ma'alim from nisiu kapayim liyuchsin, so these guys, if they're going to be nosei kapayim, shouldn't shouldn't the tirshata, right, which they say is nechemia, shouldn't he have been worried also that if we keep them in their chazaka and they're going to eat shuma and do nisiu kapayim, the people are going to then marry them? And therefore, we're going to assume that you can't be ma'aleh from those things to yuchsin, because otherwise the tirshata would have added a caveat about this. He would have said, you know, but you can't marry them. In other words, he would have tried to distinguish. Because here now, everyone's going to assume they're full-fledged kohanim, and he clearly thinks they're not. So why didn't he relate to this issue? And the fact that he didn't relate to this issue must mean that he wasn't worried that people, he thought it was okay that people will marry them. So now, they're going to say, wait, so then,
doesn't make sense, because
if you think we're ma'alim, then people would have thought them. All right, I'm missing one thing here. Okay, one second.
Because their status is widely known to be flawed.
No, so then we're going to say, that's going to be the answer. The Gemara is going to say, their chazaka was already weak. People know these guys are different. Why do they know they're different? Because they're not eating the kodshim. Once he said they can't eat the kodshim, so then he distinguished them, and that will resolve the issue. So in other words, whether or not ma'alim miyuchsin the ma'alim miyuchsin kapayim liyuchsin isn't relevant here. That's the whole thing. It wouldn't be a relevant issue because
they're
real chazkai.
Anyway, and they can't tell who's eating kochim or not. So then you're going based on Nisiyat Kapayim.
Right.
In other words, here it says that
yeah.
that it was very clear when people were eating kochim, and if they weren't, they weren't. But once nobody's eating it, there's the...
Oh, right. So nowadays, right, there's no issue. Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop here, and tomorrow I'll have this more clearly organized, and I'll start from here tomorrow. Okay.